Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May He allow us to die in the state of Iman, with belief. And may we have Iman on the day of Hashr resurrection. May we have Iman when we wake on the day of judgment. Because Iman is a very massive and big wealth that Allah Ta'ala has given to us in this world and the hereafter. All success will be due to Iman and having belief. But in opposition to Iman, the thing that is in opposition to Iman is wretched and small. Just like Iman is great and big and massive and a great asset, and Iman gives high levels and status, but opposite to Iman is lowness, is a lowly status and a condition that takes a person towards the severe punishment of God. Two opposite things. Just like light illuminates and gives freshness and visibility. In opposition to light is darkness, which hides everything. Nothing is visible. Nothing can be seen. So one we call light and one we call darkness. In the same way, Iman, the extremity of Iman, in opposition to Iman, is a dirty, impure, dark, wretched state. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, a great companion, and I think this hadith is narrated in Mishqat. The meaning of the hadith is this, that the Holy Prophet Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu said that in the court, in the gathering of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a person came and he put forward a question, a request, that, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ayyuha dhanbi akbar indallah. Very great question. And this is how the great people at that time used to ask questions of importance with significance. O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may our parents be assigned to you, for you, that please explain what is the biggest sin in front of our Lord. What a great question. If we are to realize this today, or if we already have realized and we know, then do we just listen and leave it? Oh, it's okay. Our feelings and our emotions and practice nowadays is like this. We listen. We continue to listen. We listen so much that even after listening, there's no benefit. We don't increase in our iman. We just hear. We forgot tomorrow what we heard. Allah Ta'ala says, ثُمُّ بُكْمٌ عُمْيٌ فَهُمْ لَا يَرْجِعُونَ. Allah padlocks their hearts, those who disobey me. Then Allah says, I seal their hearts. And nothing enters into the heart. Nothing permeates the heart that's beneficial. My brothers, a big message. Big message. Very big message for us today. A very big message for us today. For those people who have fear, who are scared, afraid, aware about their akhirah, hereafter, and the consequences of their life. Not for those people who the dunya, the love of the dunya overwhelms them, they're immersed in the dunya. Doesn't make any difference to them. For them, these things have no effect. No positive effect. If we are to realize what is the worst sin, the sin that Allah Ta'ala dislikes the most, and if we're committing that sin, tell me, then this is a horrendous situation. Horrendous. Our beloved master, the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, answered. The answer was there. He didn't come to hide anything. He came to give all the answers. وَبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا. And he stated that the worst sin, the biggest sin in the eyes of our Lord Allah, I'll tell you, and that is shirk. Shirk. What is shirk? To assign or ascribe partners to shariq, to involve, to include, to assign a partner in comparison to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing in Allah. So a mu'min is now asking, and he's asking the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should have said first that, you, what is the need for you to ask this question? You have no need to ask this, because you're a mu'min, you're a Muslim. Because this is the case, isn't it? We say we are free from this, that you have iman, you're a mu'min. You have no link to this question, to this worst sin. But then why did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reply and explain that it is shirk? So the first doubt ends here. A nasty sin or state of affairs that every human being is in danger of being affected by shirk. It's not just for those who don't have iman. No. Shirk. How big is it as a sin? How big a sin it is? We've seen this already. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Hakim has stated about shirk, that shirk is such a big sin, shirk, that all sins Allah ta'ala says, I will forgive. And this is Allah's power. Allah has announced, doesn't a person commits many different types of sin, big sins, major sins. Allah says, I'm Qadir, I'm all in control, I will forgive those sins. But I am a Rabb, I am your creator, but there's one sin I will not forgive of the human being. That is to include a sign, a scribe, a partner, other to Allah, in comparison to Allah. And what will be that punishment for shirk? That that person will never be able to come out of the fire of Jahannam, and he will get the most severest of punishment, the mushrik. And we should be grateful that Allah Ta'ala has given us iman, the wealth of belief. Because to ascribe a partner to Allah, to worship other than Allah, to obey other than Allah, this is shirk. Now, this isn't the case, is it, that such a big sin, shirk, and we say, oh, this is for the mushrikeen, those who don't have iman, what does it have to do with us? But no, shirk's definition and scope is broad. The pious predecessors have commented on this and explained the definition of shirk and its physical implications. Shirk, basically defined, yes, on the face of it, is to worship other than Allah, to prostrate to other than Allah. For example, idol worship. Yes, it's clear that this is outwardly is seen as shirk. And there's different types of shirk, different levels. Shirki Asghar, Shirki Akbar. These are all types of shirk. And shirk, worshipping other than Allah, obeying other, this is also shirk, that Allah's orders. And if a person in opposition to that, comparing to that, prefers other orders in his heart, then that person's a mushrik. Allah's order, Allah's given a hukam, Allah's orders, and in opposition to that, in comparison to that person, he prefers other orders. He's a mushrik. He will rise as a mushrik. This is also shirk. And this is also shirk that Allah's ahkams, that somebody changes them, opposes them. Something's haram, he says it's halal. If something's halal, he says it's haram. He doesn't just say it's haram, but he does amal on that basis. That person's a mushrik. That person's a mushrik. And also, this is shirk in addition now. In addition, this is also shirk, that in the hereafter, this is a hadith of Tabarani. It's an ajeeb, unique hadith, that there will be an individual that when he practices or does something for the sake of the dunya, and when he practices and does action, he has the intention for dunya, benefit of dunya. Amal, yes, he's doing an amal, a deed for the hereafter, but he contaminates it with dunya. He's also a mushrik. In the kitab of Allah, he's written as the mushrik. In the book of records, the deeds, look at this. So on this, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates a hadith in Sahih Muslim and Nisa'i, that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that on the day of judgment, three people will be presented to Allah first and foremost. First, yes, these are those so-called top-class people in the world that we define as top-class people. The Hafidh, yes, he will be presented to Allah. The Hafidh, the wealthy person who had wealth, money, and the Shaheed. Who? And all these three people are famous, aren't they? Amongst humanity, okay, Qur'an, reading Qur'an, to study tafsir, to have a link with the Qur'an. This is a very great deed, a high class deed, isn't it? A lofty deed. It is such a deed that in the whole dunya, everybody wants to learn Qur'an. People are recognized in the Qur'an, praised. That, for example, if, oh, this person, this sahabi is a qari, he's coming, he's going to do qirad, and posters are printed and put up on the wall, people stand up, there's respect and honor, reverence due to the connection with the Quran. Isn't this the case? Today, people remember Sheikh Abdul Basit, they listen to his cassettes or his recordings, and he was a great qari. So first and foremost, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the high class individual we presented in front of Allah, because they are deserved of the great reward, because their lives were, in terms of the Quran, they were an alim, they were qari, they were muhaddith. These are all titles under the banner of the Quran. They this ulum, qari and hifth. If you take the Quran out, the darulum will go, the alim will go, the fiqh will go. Jurisprudence will disappear, muhaddithin, scholars of hadith will go. So Allah Ta'ala says that the first and foremost, the people who have the link with the Quran, they will come and be presented to Allah. Everyone in the world will think, oh, he's going to be given a great status of reward. This is the hadith of Sahih Muslim Nisai, as Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu is narrating this hadith. So the hafiz will be presented to Allah, and he will be an elevated person. In the dunya, he was acclaimed and famous, he'll be happy. Oh, today, what reward am I going to get with regards to the Quran? As I said, the iman, as much as it is high, but in opposition to it is a very dirty and impure status. So what will happen then? Allah will say, yes, come Hafiz Sahib, Alim Sahib, come. Come forth. What did you do in the world? Allah, I did a lot of work. I was this, I was that. Obviously the work of the deen so-called that we did in the world, and everything of his he would present to Allah, his works, his efforts. Allah will ask that, yes, I know everything. Allah will say, I know everything. And I gave you the messages through the blessed tongue of my Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that with regards to the hereafter, if you do work for the hereafter and you intend dunya within that, then that person will be written as a wretched person in the heavens and the earth. That in the heavens and that the heavens and in the earth, he will be written as the wretched person. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave us this message. وَبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا. He gave us this news. Brothers, this deen is not a game. It is not tamasha. Not a game. There's no scope for being fake. That we think our life is a game. It's a game. We're just passing time. My friends, everything is okay. I could do one kitab. Is nothing in front of us. These are hadith. That person, Allah will say, after saying this, Allah will say, I also know about you. You are telling me you did X, Y, Z. Tell me. Allah will ask, that what was the intention behind all of this? That what were you doing all of this for? What was the reason? Was it fame? Did you want praise? Did you want to be acclaimed? Did you want wealth? These were your intentions that were written in the kitabs, the book of Deeds, Hafiz Sahib. That those things that you want in the world, in relation to the Quran, I gave to you in the world, Allah will say, Allahu Akbar. Now, in comparison to this, what do I have? Allah will say, grab him from the neck and throw him into the lowermost ditch of hellfire, because he was a mushrik. Tell me, imagine the shock. Imagine, this is deen of Islam, my brothers. I swear by Allah, a person when he wakes up in the night, he may run mad when he thinks that after my mouth, what will happen to me? He may go mad thinking this. Isn't this the case? Tell me. That how can a person sleep in the night that my mouth is in front of me, my death, and I'm in this condition? So he's lost it. And many people will have gone with him. Now comes the second man, second category. He had wealth, money. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he wills, he give money to whoever he wants. It's in his control. Allah's choice. Allah ta'ala said a great thing in the Quran, that whoever I will, I can give him more rizq, and if I will, I'll give less rizq. That Allah says, why? Because Allah says, لا يعلمون. It's my choice. Why? Because many people don't understand wealth and money. They forgive some people less. And what do? Then he doesn't understand. He was destined to have less wealth. What does he do? He tries to increase his wealth. What does that person do? Illegal and unlawful actions and methods. Allah's laws of haram, he tries to change it to halal. Close his eyes and says, I will elevate this so that my both pockets are full, my bank balances increase. Allah says that person tries to use unlawful methods because he doesn't understand his Rabb. Allah says, I've given you less money. There's a reason for this. There's a purpose behind this. And the more you try to increase this, you will try to adopt haram, unlawful means. Allah says, I kept halal for you limited. This is all you're going to get. Subhanallah. And he accepted the haram method to make more money. Allah says, no. Halal methods you followed and you got the money that's yours. And if you tried to follow others and increase it, Allah will say that this was not in your destiny. Now this This your greed is taking you towards Jahannam because you broke my laws. And many people don't understand this, Allah Ta'ala says. Many people don't understand this. This is the hal of the poor man. And those who are given more, Allah says, in their destiny there's more. And they haven't even understood my hikmah and my wisdom. What does he start doing? He thinks, oh, this is my parents, my assets, my resources, I'm rich, this house is mine. What does he do? He then wastes that wealth. He thinks it's his, and he utilizes and spends that money in haram methods and actions, and he doesn't understand why Allah gave him wealth. Allah says, أَكْثَرْهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. That he has many people, many times don't understand that the balance Allah has given, if he was to have satisfaction on that and understand whatever hal I am in, condition I'm in, this is Allah's total wisdom and his choice. His choice. So we should stick to that, adhere to that. We don't need to deviate from that. This is my destiny. If I've been destined to be poor, that's fine. Allah Ta'ala makes us try to understand that if, for example, a person's trying, makes effort in a lawful way, and this is destiny and it comes, fine. But if he does come and then he utilizes money for haram or wrong methods and he breaks the rules of Sharia, he lies and commits fraud and deceives, everything comes into that. أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Allah says, he hasn't understood my hikmah. Allah says, people don't understand my hikmah. Allah says, this is one point. So that individual, number two, who was given wealth, he thought, this is mine, it's my inheritance, and no one can tell me what to do. So now the wealthy person, what does he do? Okay, I'll spend this much on this, X on this, make two masjids, five here, seven, do this, and people start praising him. Oh, he is sakhi, generous, he's giving sadaqah, charity, he runs madrasas, and he's spending on the deen, and he gets a lofty status, and me, bam, bam, people are acclaiming him. His name will be written in lists, and he'll tell people, whoever he wants to expel, he'll expel, whoever he wants to include in the masjid, the committee, he'll keep, because he's got money, and his factories are running, he's got assets, he's got cash flow, he's got a high status. Famous. He's doing work of the deen. He's done a lot of the work of the deen. Many people like this who are rich, they get famous like this. So Allah will ask, what did you do? Allah gave you wealth. He will say, Allah, I spent on the poor. I gave charity. I did this action, that action. I spent for you, Allah. Allah will say, is it? What was your intention behind this? Tell me. And he will say, Allah, my intention. And what answer will he give? Allah will say, your intention was fame, acclaim, pomp, glory. Dunya. You wanted to be placed on a high pedestal. You got that dunya. So what do you want from me? I'll give you the same as that first man. Jahannam. Hellfire. Sadaqat. Charity is a great action. Allah says, if you give one sadaqah, Allah says, I cool the fire of Jahannam for that person. Isn't it? So where's all the sadaqah gone now? Third man will be called, presented to Allah in his court. Shaheed. Allahu Akbar. The shaheed. He who gave his all, Allah says, بَلْ أَحْيَاهُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا. That don't say these people are deceased. بَلْ أَحْيَاهُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. Allah says, subhanAllah, you think that these people have passed away? They have not passed away. They have not died. They are alive in their grave. And it's a life that you cannot understand, O mankind. What a status in Jannah. There are lanterns. There's Quran verses. And the lanterns will light, and those people will float and fly in Jannah, and then they'll come back to their homes, and their lamps will be shining. They'll be totally free in Jannah. Go where you want, come, go. Nobody can stop them. No restrictions. Everything beautiful all day long. Wandering around, flying around. And what a great, great enjoyment for those who are in Jannah. And then they will come back to their homes, and they will rest. And they are alive. And what is their life in the grave today, even now, that if a person, for example, if a shaheed's grave is dug, his body is still the same as when the day he was buried, fresh, and the blood is flowing. بَلْ أَحْيَاهُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. Allah said that you don't know, your Rabb knows that what life do I give them in the grave. So what will be their maqam? That the janazah, subhanAllah, Allah says that, look, quickly send him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Quickly. And he will be called the shaheed. That you did a great action, lofty action. Why? Allah, for your sake, in your path, for you, Allah, fi sabilillah, he will say. And Allah will say, this was not your objective. There was contamination in your intention. I'll show you what you intended. And Allah will bear him the truth. What was his objective? He wanted fame. Allah says, now you took that fame in the dunya. Come, just where you had imtiaz, the stars and the medals and the necklace is here, no Jannah for you, and go. Same destination as the first two. So this is hadith. Hadith in which it's clearly explained that people who had high maqam in the dunya, but they were written, included in the list of the mushriks who did shirk. Me and you, my friends, were sat here thinking we've passed the test. What will be our hal? With which iman can we say, alhamdulillah, we should think, we should be hopeful and positive. But such a big sin, and Allah has dedicated a whole amount of time and information. And so we should also think, am I a mushrik? Is my belief correct? Is my amal correct? Why? What's the reason for this? Why is this so dangerous? Because shaitan, he's got permission to deviate people. He said, Allah, I want your permission so I can release people from the deen. I am zaleel, I've been expelled. But those people, your servants, I want to show them, this is not zina. This is no sin. And the sin that I'm going to make them implement the most, promise shaitan, is that I'm going to make them mushrikeen. I'm going to take them far from you, Allah. And I'm going to make them fall into a trap, deception. In Surah An-Nisa, Allah Ta'ala has explained in depth that shaitan, he's promised that I will make them do such actions. They'll be famous as mu'mins and believers, but in your kitab, Allah, they'll be written as mushrikeen. Shaitan promised this, he vowed, and how much strength he has, skills, and he flows in our veins with our blood. Isn't this the case? But we don't think of it. We think, oh yes, I'm fine, I've passed the test, I'm pious. Look how many people are departing this world with shirk. Because if we don't protect ourselves, if we don't stop a hazard, if we don't prevent the hazard, the danger, then how can we say we won't leave with the hazard? Allah says, if you're going to prevent it, then my assistance will come. Inna Allah, Allah says, ma'al muhsineen, that those who try, don't think you're on your own. Don't think you're on. What's the condition? Illa ma'al muhsineen. That's the pious predecessors have stated. The condition here is that such people, my rahmah is with them. Allah says, my mercy is with them, most definitely. Allah says that their efforts, their drive, I will not allow them to not succeed. So here we understand, is that what do we need to do now to succeed and not be mushriks? What is the reason for us to do? We need to be alert and bring ourselves to our senses. We need to analyze, look into our hearts, in our deeds, and be honest. That have I got shirk in my life, in my deeds? And if there's shirk, then what's the cure? How do I come out of this shirk? That's the question. Yes, is this not the case? Very straightforward question. So the Quran has given us the cure. Say subhanallah. The Quran gives the solution. In case we're in danger of shirk. And the most foolish person is he who doesn't solve this problem or cure himself and protect himself from the hazard of shirk. The misals, Allah has given the examples, these many other hadith that if we had the time would discuss and understand. Allahu Akbar, Allah is greatest. So what's the solution that we need to implement now to prevent us doing actions of shirk and being classed as mushriks? But we have to understand with depth. The pious predecessors have explained to us, we need to understand the Quran. There are different ways and methods in which the Quran explains to us. Yeah, we need to delve into the verses. We need to understand the explanations as the pious servants of Allah have explained. Allah Ta'ala has told us clearly, that there's one cure, that do bay'ah with a friend of Allah. Yes? Conduct bay'ah, pledge allegiance to the wali of Allah. Do bay'ah. Yes, what are the words of the Quran? Bat. Pledge allegiance. Bat is what? Yes, doing bayah. That at the hands of the wali of Allah, do tawbah. Repent. Repent. With tawbah, there are many types of tawbah. Pray to nafil, do tawbah, do istighfar, or say it yourself. But that tawbah, there's a special importance laid on the method of tawbah. A special importance that this tawbah will save you from shirk, subhanallah. What will it save us from? All of us? From shirk. This is the attempt and the work of the walis of Allah, making khanqas, people worked hard, ulama, muftis, scholars, great people, knowledgeable, not knowledgeable, literate, illiterate. They all tried this from centuries. Kitabs containing the stories and the events and the examples and the learnings of the walis of Allah. They spent their whole life doing this. And they weren't just normal people. Their nights were spent in nawafil, voluntary salah. Their feet were swollen in the days. They'd do sayam, fasting. They'd spend the days fasting. These are the examples of those great personalities. They used to go around seeking, looking, I need to find the wali of Allah so I can do bayah at his hands. Why? Because none of those great lofty personalities trusted himself. Was shaitan, he's work is to make a person die as a mushrik. We look at ourselves. Look at ourselves. We sleep with ease. Oh, I'm fine. We don't even know how will maut come with thousands of different techniques, shaitan attacks. This is not life. We are deceiving ourselves. Shaitan's deceived us. He's succeeded in his mission. That he's not even making us try to succeed. And even if we do try, we don't understand the objective. We don't know that by chance we are doing the right actions. Why are we bayat to a sheikh? Why have we done bayat to a sheikh? Why have we pledged allegiance and taken ourselves to be students of the sheikh? Many people are doing it for some reason. Many people say, I want to become pious. Wali Allah, I said, I do dhikr, and people do dhikr behind me, and they accept me as pious. I go, I'll become a khalifa, a deputy of the sheikh. I'll sit down, I'll be a sheikh as well. They'll put the sheet around somebody in Makkah. Somebody goes to Medina. My Hazrat gave ijazat for me to do this, and they become failures. And we think that this is the objective of bayat, of doing bayat. Today, this is the Piri Muridi that's running. My friends, I'll tell you the truth. Yes, people, astaghfirullah, this many Murids, how many Murids do you have? I have this many students, this Medina, he's my Murid in Medina, and here, etc. And this city, that, and a person, I realize one person, there's a Murid, he's in Makkah, you my Khalifa, I'll stay with you, also my Khalifa, you my deputy. And he's taking Khilafat, and he's fed up. And the person who's giving Khilafat, and for example, that will he give him that title in those great cities? Ajeeb stories. Until we've heard, you are my Khalifa, my deputy, that you are the student of that Sheikh. Okay, fair enough. Why are you giving him Khilafat? He's a student of your Sheikh as well. Why are you trying to make him deputy? He's doing Tarbiyah, the Sheikh's doing Tarbiyah to this person. And you are also from the Ajeeb concept. People are trying to pull on the people. I want him to be a student. He becomes my Murids. And Murids of Josh, quickly, I want to put the sheet around me and go and sit down, do dhikr and host dhikr. People understand me, accept me, give speeches, and people hear me. So many people, kullun shirk. Every maidan, every territory we go to, we see shirk. I speak openly and clearly because I'm bare myself, and I bear the naked truth in front of everybody that this is our hal today. This is a hal. To be saved from shirk, there's one way, and we need to understand. And today we've fallen into that trap. We don't go for the solution to be saved from shirk. So this is a technical point that the pious predecessors, the true walis of Allah, explain that how does doing bayah to the shaykh save a person from shirk? Say subhanallah, subhanallah. Tell me. So are you saved from shirk? That after doing bayat with the sheikh, even then the student is not free from shirk. Let me open the unlock it today. We say, oh, we've done bayat, I'm free from shirk. He done bayat. No, behind this there's an intention. Say subhanallah. Remember this. That me, you, we haven't understood. That what's the objective? That Allah Ta'ala, He sent us to His wali. Yes, and we became his student, and he became our sheikh, and we did bath with the sheikh, bayah, and we did tawbah. Have we understood, any one of us, men and women, why we did this? We just thought, that's fine, I've met the sheikh, and I've done bath, and he's my hazrat sahib, I'm doing dhikr, and I've succeeded, and I don't need anything else. The objective, the maqsad, recognize the objective behind every action you do. Allah says, why have I made this system on bayah? Why have I said for you, every Muslim, to do tawbah, repentance at the hands of the sheikh? Or is this bidah? Or is this shirk itself to do this? And people say this and they run away from the deen. Is there any other greater misconception than this? They've shut the door on tasawuf. They say, oh no, this is bidah. This is shirk. This is wrong. This is innovation. Having a shirk. What is this? Peer, murid. This is innovation. Isn't there a group who say this is a very big sect? And they run away out of fear. And there's another group. They've made this shirk themselves. They do sijda. They prostrate to the shirk. They all want to prostrate to my shirk. Prostrate to the peer and ask from me and I'll give to you. They've gone to the two opposite extremes. So shaitan contaminates everything. He's made one group go again away from the soul, saying it's bidah innovation. And the other group, they've gone too extreme to one side, and they start to seek and request worshipping of themselves. And salah can make a person even go towards shirk. Within a minute, those people who don't have the protection, but those who have the protection, Allah has explained, those people, mashallah, not even shaitan can deviate those people. He cannot come close to them. He cannot even come to their village, subhanallah. How can he come to them? How can he close to them? He cannot, in that house where they live, then he runs away from them. He says, oh, don't go there, my worker shaitan. Oh, no, those people are pious. Their angels are protecting that person. Where are you going? Don't let him sleep. Let him rest, and you'll come back defeated. Why? Because shaitan and his workers, they know that that person has utilized the protection that Allah has given. As I said to you, what is the one single cure for shirk? For all of us is to do bayah with the shirk. And there's no other cure, my brothers, none at all. None at all. What is that? To go to the company of a wali Allah, a sheikh, and at his hands to commit bayat. Ya ayyuhan nabi, Allah Ta'ala explains in the Quran very clearly. Surah Mumtahna. Look at this now. Yes, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, oh, Allah is saying this to his nabi, to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ya ayyuhan nabi. Subhanallah. Allah is explaining now. What is Allah explaining here? Allah Ta'ala is saying the method of how not to do shirk. Allahu Akbar. So is this not the total verse? And there's a verse even beyond this. What Allah Ta'ala said? That ya ayyuha ladina amanu idha ja'akumul mu'minatu the mu'min women will come to you. Subhanallah. Ya ayyuha nabiyu idha ja'akal mu'minatu yuba'i'naka ala Allah yushrikna billahi shay'a. Allahu Akbar. So let's listen to this verse. What does this verse tell us? That Allah Ta'ala says that Tawbah comes to me. So why is it coming via the Holy Prophet? So what does this prove? That this silsila will continue how long? Until Qiyamah. Allahu Akbar. O Prophet, when the believing women come to you seeking bayah, a pledge of allegiance with you, that they will not ascribe any partner to Allah. So Allah says that the kafir won't come to you, not the mushrikeen. Allah saying mu'minat, that the sahabiyya, the believing women with a high status will come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah is not saying, come to me direct. Come to me direct, O believing woman. The high class sahabiyya, they're coming to you, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they will come to you. The sahabiyya are coming to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They will request, O Prophet of Allah, please make us do tawbah, make us repent. The first promise Rasulullah will make them state is that the sahabiyya will come with a high status in comparison to no other woman waliya in the history of Islam after the sahabiyya can come with any one with the status. And they will come, the sahabiyya, and they will come to the Prophet ﷺ and request for him to conduct their tawbah. Allahu Akbar. Allah says that ya ayyu nabi idha ja'aka almu'minatu yubayyi'naka ala alla yushrikna billahi shay'a, that don't do shirk. So we realize that those women with a high status, the Quran is saying to them that the first action you have to do is that speak to them about shirk, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that don't do shirk. So me and you, what status do we have? And we say we don't have no need to do bayah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Think about this. We say we have no need. The Quran proves the cure here. That the cure for shirk is this, that we have to find a wali Allah, just like the sahabiyya found the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we have to request him to give us bayah. We have to pledge allegiance to him. And the first thing that will have to come out of our hearts is shirk. Allahu Akbar. Plain proof. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Have you seen this, the tafsir of the Quran now? Is this not tafsir Quran? Is the cure not come? Isn't this the cure until Qiyamah? That shirk, what is shirk? What is the opposition to shirk? Very simple cure. The go to the walis of Allah says, until Qiyamah I'll keep on sending my walis. This manufacturing machine will not stop. This conveyor belt will not stop. They will come to Bolton. They will come to Preston. They will come to London. They will come to England. They will come to America. Whichever country you will be in, there Allah says, my wali of Allah will be present. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Because Allah wants to prevent the Muslims from implementing shirk. Is this not the cure? Do we accept this? So this is bayah. This is bayah. That the Muslim who does bayah at the hands of a sheikh, a wali Allah, cannot be a mushrik. So let's go a bit more into depth, give you the technical understanding, and you'll understand inshaAllah. Why? What's the reason for this? That this man, that when you put your hand in the hand of the sheikh, he's not doing tawbah. But when you put your hand into the hand of a wali Allah, it's lazim, essential to take his hand for this reason. Listen carefully. Because the condition of bayah is what? Allahu Akbar, Allah is greatest. This is what this verse is explaining. The condition of bayah is this, the first condition, that when you do bayah with someone, pledge allegiance, that murid, the student who puts his hand in the hand of shaykh, he's living his aqaid, his beliefs, and he has to come into the belief and understanding of his shaykh. That's the hukum. The order, that give him the order, O teacher, that the first thing is that I'm not a mushrik and you cannot do shirk either. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So when the student takes the hand of the Shaykh's hand, he's a wali Allah, he cannot be a mushrik. How can he be a person doing shirk? Allah has made him a wali. So when the student goes to him, then what will happen is that murid, totally his aqeedah will become that of his Shaykh's. His aqeedah, his belief, his itiqad. And if there's a difference in the aqeedah, for example, my aqeedah is different and my Shaykh's aqeedah is different, his beliefs are different, understanding is different than the Quran states, then he hasn't done bayah, then that bayah is broken. That bayah is fisk. It's annulled, void. As long as the murid doesn't have the same aqidah, if the murid doesn't have the identical, same mirror aqidah as the Shaykh, even if he understands or not, then the first thing the student has to do is assign himself 100% that Shaykh, whatever is your aqidah, is my aqidah, and I totally ignore my thinking and feelings and opinions. So when we elevate the Shaykh higher than us, understand and accept he is higher than us, he is pure from shirk and free from shirk. When the murid comes, he can come with thousands of thoughts, thousands of opinions, thousands of beliefs. When he sits in front of the Shaykh, then he says, I burn and crush my thinking opinions. Shaykh, whatever is your thinking, I accept 100% from my heart and embrace, and I will live my life 100% according to that. So then, is the Shaykh wrong? And if the Shaykh isn't going to worship, do shirk, then the, will the student. If the Shaykh is not going to ask, then how will he ask? Everything he will do the same as his Shaykh. If he's doing different to the aqidah of his Shaykh, then his bayat is fisk and null and void, and never can he be a murid or student. So after doing bayat, only shirk will that person do who didn't do bayat properly. He didn't take the hand of the Shaykh correctly. His aqidah is not the aqidah of his Shaykh. What a pure, clear deen that Allah Ta'ala has made clear to us. Allah started with this lesson in this verse. Started. Allahu Akbar. Openly clear. After that, the list comes out of the rest of the sins. But first is the promise not to do shirk. First promise is Allah says, correct your aqidah. And after shirk, then Allah goes towards the other amal. So my brothers, great action. The biggest sickness is shirk. Allah has given us the solution that we must go to the hand of the Shaykh's hand, to take the hand of the Shaykh into our hands and do bayah, pledge allegiance to the Shaykh. So what's the biggest disease? Shirk. To be saved from the disease of shirk, follow your Shaykh, obey Shaykh. As long as I didn't meet my Shaykh, there were thousands of clashes in my mind and heart, thousands of paths, and I was immersed in wrong. I was suspended in wrong thoughts and opinions, and I thought, oh, he's great, let's go after him. I thought, this is a peer, let's go after him. Everyone in the dunya says he's great, go after him. Oh, this man, he does this, he's good, he does this, X, Y, Z. Miracles and visions and promises. So at that time, when I presented myself in the service of my Shaykh with thousands of thoughts and feelings at that time, obviously I didn't know my Shaykh. I didn't know, there was difference in my thinking and my opinions, and I was wandering in other circles, and Hazrat's line and path was different. But when I came into the company of my Shaykh, when I went and accepted Hazrat Sahib that you are my teacher and you are my ustad, and I am your murid and your student, you are my Shaykh, soon as I took his hand and I accepted that after today, whatever you are, I am going to be the same. Subhanallah. End of story. From that day onwards, after that moment, wallahi, I swear by Allah, every action of my life was done, I was a mirror. Everything of my Shaykh was beloved to me as well. Everything in my life was beloved to me. Hazrat Thanvi, alhamdulillah, I loved him so much because Hazrat Sahib, my Shaykh, loved Hazrat Thanvi. Everything Hazrat Sahib said, my Shaykh, he would give the reference of Hazrat Thanvi Sahib. He had extreme love for Hazrat Thanvi Sahib. And I read so many kitabs and everything, the commentary of the Quran, even now, Wahid, I read that Quran. Same. Yes? No. Simple Quran, Hazrat Thanvi, alhamdulillah. Thousands of points I take out from that, the mirror of that Quran, the reflection of the mirror, no tafsir, no commentary, because that's my aqidah, the aqidah of my Shaykh. The same wahdaniyat, oneness of Allah, risalat, everything. So much love for Rasulullah that you cannot imagine. All of that, those temporary things I used to love and cry after, and we used to stay up all night long trying to prove ourselves, everything evaporated within a second. The false life. So my brothers, when Allah has given us a path, and even today we continue to sleep, then remember, if we continue to sleep today, we don't do the right actions, Allah Ta'ala has given us the path, and an easy, simple path. Yes, automatically the aqidah is straightened and aligned. But those people who do the right action, who have a link with a Shaykh, connected to a Shaykh, then they need to ask themselves a question in their brains and minds and their thoughts, that am I really a sincere murid and student? Remember, first thing is to have itiqad, belief in your Shaykh. When Allah sends you to do tawbah to your Shaykh, men and women, first thing is you have to make your itiqad, aqeedah in your Shaykh, tawakkal in your shaykh, belief in your shaykh, trust in your shaykh, then after that, all your deeds will come into line and be accepted. If your i'tiqad is contaminated, twisted, then your amal will be contaminated, twisted. But whatever i'tiqad you have, then your deeds, your amal will result in the same way. Remember this. Our amal, our deeds are reliant on our i'tiqad, belief. Deeds don't come first. First comes i'tiqad, belief, and following blindly the shaykh. If we are ashiks of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then all our deeds should be a reflection of the practice of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the same way, a bayah, bayat with the shaykh, the first proof of bayat is that you should be fanaful shaykh. Immerse yourself in the ocean of the shaykh. No doubt, no criticism of the shaykh, no question marks. Totally 100%. I believe my shaykh, I follow my shaykh blindly, I take and embrace everything what he says. The dunya can stand against and say, no, this is wrong, bid'ah innovation. No, no, no. If my shaykh has given this hukum, then it's totally jais and permissible, alhamdulillah. And then a person, his shirk will come out of his life, because Allah has given him the path of success. Proven. So my brothers, may Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq that such a wretched sin as shirk, we should be extremely cautious, careful, so much caution that there's no sin in the world that compares to the wretchedness of shirk. And no man can be saved from the wretchedness of shirk as long as he doesn't try to protect himself. Wa akhru dawana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Recite Durood Sharif.